This is the Championship Rounds with your host, Matthew Amayo.
All right, so it's 11 o'clock p.m., December 1st. We're at roughly an hour removed from Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury to determine the heavyweight champion of the world. Really couldn't wait any longer, so I got my big brother on the line once again, Mark Amayo, and we're just going to hop right into it. So please, 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 what are your thoughts right now being an hour removed from the fight?
The only thing really I can think about is how good of a night it was, or how great of a night it was for the heavyweight division in general.
Yes.
These are two guys that are champions and operate in a division that was pretty much dead. I mean, this is the most significant heavyweight fight that I can remember in more than, 10, 15 years, I think, right? So they took it upon themselves to pretty much promote each other. And at the same time, I think they knew that this is a good way to resurrect the division. And I'm happy for the both of them. I'm not just because it ended in a classy way, but they put on a hell of a show and they knew they would. They went in there to fight. They weren't playing games with money on the line, that sort of thing. They just went in there to fight each other. And it was a great night of boxing for the heavyweight division. So,
of course. Yes, it was.
It was a good showcase.
For me, it was the most important fight since Anthony Joshua, Vladimir Klitschko.
Yep.
But I think Joshua kind of tainted that by not fighting either Wilder or Fury. But that's another conversation for another day. Or we could talk about it later as the episode progresses. What I want to get to is the fight itself, because it pretty much was everything that we ever wanted, and maybe even a little bit more. It was everything that we also predicted prior.
That's funny. We're thinking the same thing. Yeah.
When we talked about it last, because we knew Wilder was going to land one or two of those big shots, and he did. But before we get to the big shots, let's start down from the beginning, from the pageantry, the entrances leading up to the ring announcements, Jimmy Lennon Jr. announcing both fighters, all the way to the first round, and I guess we'll go on from there, because I have a lot of thoughts from round one all the way through round 12, and we're going to talk about the scorecards, we're going to talk about the events that transpired, we're definitely going to talk about the post-fight interview in the ring. We're going to talk about all that. There's a lot to talk about, but we'll get all of it in a good amount of time. Entrances were great. Theatrics were great. Wilder was Wilder. Fury was Fury. Can't really expect anything less. Just the right amount of buzz and pageantry. I think the promotion for this fight was just right. They didn't do too much. They didn't do too little. It was the perfect balance to get everybody interested, from casual fans to hardcore fans to just your average sports fan. It got everybody generated and got them to tune into the fight. Your thoughts on the build-up on the way to the fight itself, on the way to tonight, as well as the fanfare and the theatrics involved heading into round one?
I was super busy the last couple weeks, but I did try to catch the all-access interviews. I have to give it up to Showtime, first of all. They promoted the right fight well, the event well. I think the undercard was great. But the fact, I think it would have been an easy sell for either one of them. They're both very outspoken. They're both very colorful. And I think that they were both invested in trying to, I think they went into this knowing that they needed to, it wasn't just about them two, it was about promoting the division of the whole, and that the heavyweight division is back. They didn't need to go overboard. They didn't need to do, kind of like Mayweather McGregor, where they just went, overboard with the theatrics and a lot of it.
They almost went that route.
Yeah, they almost went that route. A lot of it was contrived. And you know, it almost went that route, but it wasn't like they planned it. Like that last little scuffle that they had, it was just their emotions and their hype. And I think not necessarily got the best of them, but I mean, it just got there. And we know about Wilder's interview. And I think there was a part there. And I think his feedback from mainstream media and things like that kind of fueled that a little bit. There's a little bit of frustration there. But in the end, it's not whatever Tyson, whatever Wilder feels, it's not necessarily Tyson's fault that they feel that way. You know, it's the media. But I think because they're, you know, they get along well, I think they went in to make this money to get that paper. And, you know, it just didn't go overboard. It was a competitive, you know, build up for the fight.
Competitive build up, competitive fight, everything that we could ever want, all the drama, all the tangibles, all the intangibles.
Yeah. Just
everything,
enough.
Yeah. Everything from head to toe, just top notch. And I couldn't be more proud of both those guys in regards to Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. Leading up to the fight, the theatrics were great. J-Rock coming out, performing win. Deontay.
That was a dope entrance.
The WBC heavyweight belt coming down from the rafters, shining with a little spotlight on it, glistening in a nice, beautiful glass case.
Little prestige. It was prestigious. Yeah. It looked prestigious.
And that's what we want from the heavyweight division that we've been lacking for the last two decades or so. But let's talk round one now. Round one, a little bit of feeling out process. We're gonna hop around. We're not gonna go from round one
was round
two
one?
To round three.
I thought they got started pretty early. I thought the energy.
I thought they did too. But we're not gonna go on a round around basis. We're just gonna talk about overall in the fight and what stood out during the course of the fight. What stood out to me was, if I'm talking about the fight as a whole, is I'm still gonna be very, very critical of Deontay Wilder, and I think I'm well within my rights and my reason to do so, because the first knockdown, I personally thought that Fury was just he was toying with him that round, and it led to the knockdown. I thought that it was a rudimentary punch that Wilder landed, in my opinion, and it grazed, but the testament to his power, just grazing him, what was it, the back of the head, managed to knock him down, score the 10-8, to have the very first meaningful moment of that fight. And I'm going to be critical of Wilder, aside from the knockdowns, because we'll get to that later, but I'm critical of Wilder because I still think he's not a very good boxer. He's a good puncher with power, and the testament to his power and being able to stay game in the ring against guys like a Tyson Fury. But I think he has no knowledge of distance. I don't think he knows how to string combinations together. Commentators were making it very clear that when he does throw a wild punch, when he sets up a 1-2, like an overhand right, that he jams himself. Pauly Malignaggi pointed that out, that when he does throw a combination, he's not set. He has a difficult time trying to get set. And from that standpoint, as well as just loading up too much on his punches, whether it be the right hand, whether it be shooting the overhand right, trying to go for a left hook combination that he threw numerous amounts of times throughout the fight, I'm still going to stay critical of Wilder because I want to see more from him, you know?
I think, you know, we predicted, I think it was obvious. A lot of people could have made this prediction either way. If they were going to call Wilder, they're going to rely, if he's going to win, they're going to rely on his athleticism, his power, and his conditioning. I thought his conditioning was pretty damn good. But he's not just like you touched on, in so many words, that he is a very inefficient fighter. He throws his body weight around a set to throw those punches. He doesn't use footwork. And he's got a very wide stance, which limits how far he can move left and right. And the thing is, Fury's got great head movement, great technical skills, and for him to hold his own for last that long for 12 rounds and you know land a big shot like that is a huge testament to his conditioning, because he wasn't really bothered. I think he was more a little overwhelmed with the work, the busyness, how busy Tyson Fury stayed. But I think we both call. I think nobody would have been wrong in this case. If Tyson Fury is going to win, he was going to win with his boxing,
with a knockout.
If Wilder was going to win, it would have been with a knockout, and nobody was wrong. You know, Fury had his technical prowess. He just didn't manage distance, just like you said, and just like what I said in my prediction. He needs to manage distance well, and he didn't do that because you can't go in swinging haymakers expecting to. Get out of the way soon when all your weight is loaded forward after you've thrown those haymakers. So
if he did manage distance, if he knew how to manage distance very effectively, he's a dangerous guy for sure.
Yeah.
He's dangerous alone with his power, push aside being efficient and being able to throw combinations with the right technique. Being able to throw combinations with a quickness, having it be second nature to you. Mm-hmm. With pushing that aside, he's still a very dangerous fighter, and he showed that tonight. I'm not trying to make this episode, this post-fight episode, as a thrashing and being highly critical of Deontay Wilder. It's just something that I really have to point out that to me is really troubling. Yeah, he held his own. Yeah, he managed to get a draw, and we'll talk about that later, but it's still not all there, and I don't think it's ever going to be there.
Well, I think the reason why you feel that way is you think, what if he did have those skills?
That's fair.
Or if he had the instinct to sell, right? Think you are expecting more than, and I know in his head he's a champion, right? Why do I need to change what I need to do? Yeah, he can enhance what he already does. I mean, he really, you saw him get stunned a little bit here and there about three or four times during the fight. If anything, but the thing is, he was still hunting the whole time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's more, I think you and I feel the same way in that he can be so much more with all the other gifts that he has, that athleticism, that conditioning. If he had the skills to match and he chose to add a couple tools to a belt, all he really needs to add is a consistent jab. I mean, granted, Tyson poses a different
the jab
type
was great. His jab was really improved. I liked in the first round where he was jabbing low. I thought he just points it out better. It's a little bit stiffer. There's a little bit more of a snap. It's not a top five jab by any means, but it's an improved jab.
Yeah.
And if he worked on that jab, he could set up the power punch, and he could prove me wrong.
Yeah, I think the matchup out of the three, and I know we're going to talk about matchups because that's either way. I know we're going to talk about the matchups with those three, but I think out of those three, those two needed to fight first, for sure, because. I will talk about that later, but I think just stylistically it could go because anything can happen either way. A knockout can happen or can be boxed to a decision. It needed to be them too. And I'm glad they stepped up and it couldn't have been, better guys to step up. So
no, for sure. And with Deontay Wilder, testament to him being able to knock down Tyson Fury twice, let's transition over to Tyson Fury. And I really don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy at all to make this episode about tearing down Deontay Wilder and praising Tyson Fury. Because, quite frankly, and to be honest, I have plenty of praise to point towards Tyson Fury's direction in more ways than one. And one way was being able to come back and having a couple tune-up fights and still being slick as ever. Jab was good.
Sharp.
Jab was very, very stiff.
He was very
that
sharp.
That was a scary jab.
He was very sharp. The fast twitch, you can see all the fat, the way he faints.
Yes.
The commitment on his feints. He was just like you said in the last episode, he was not rusty at all.
Yeah.
He looked like a well-tuned, and he looked very motivated.
Yes.
I think a lot of people agree with you though. Nobody thinks you're going to be tearing down Wilder and praising Fury, because I think both of them, I think they both would say the same thing about it. You know, I may not be the most skilled fighter. Wilder may say that. So I think a lot of people would agree with you though.
Yeah.
On that analysis. So.
Yeah. And it's just, I'll give it all Wilder's due. Just being able to go in there with the caliber, with Fury's caliber, and, you know, withstanding whatever Fury had. But mm-hmm. I know the overall story of the fight, I know the general public is going to look past of Fury's accomplishments, what he did well during the fight, using the jab, using his feints to set up the combinations, being able to have effective movement. And I think that everything that he did during the fight that went successfully is going to be overlooked by the two knockdowns. But to the naked eye, to the experts and to guys who watch the sport religiously like you and I, we see that as telling in the whole story of the fight alongside with the knockdowns, you know? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel that...
That people are going to focus on the knockdowns? Is that what you're saying?
I feel that casual fans are going to focus on the knockdowns and not give Fury his due as far as what he did successfully.
Oh, yeah. And I know. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
If there's anything about this fight, I hope Fury's mouth has garnered him enough attention. And he's a very likable fighter.
Oh, hell yes.
He's a super likable fighter. So I really hope that that's not, his skills aren't overlooked, because that dude is an artist in the ring. So if anybody or any of your listeners out there are focusing on the knockdowns and are all on the Deontay Wilder bandwagon just because he's an American flamboyant fighter, no. Y'all need to pay attention to Tyson Fury, because that dude's got some skills. He's a legit heavyweight. He beat one of the most dominant fight. I mean, probably the most 10 the years, most whatever. Fighter, the yeah. most dominant fighter of this generation. And he beat him with the same skills. I mean, this dude, I think this is the sharpest Tyson Fury I've ever seen. And if you're a Joshua fan and such, and we're going to talk about matchups here in a little bit, he would pose an issue to anybody. And that's just another testament to how good Wilder is and how his athleticism pays off. But don't sleep on Tyson Fury, man. That dude is a fighter. He's got skills.
I don't think we're looking over both fighters in a general aspect. What I'm saying is, I think that if casual fans were to look back on the fight, I think that the magnitude of the two knockdowns outweighs whatever Fury did successfully during the fight.
Yeah,
if we look
really
at the fight in retrospect, I think casual fans are really going to look past what Fury did successfully, being able to effectively move, use the jab, land the 1-2. The head movement was there. Wilder couldn't land anything for 70% of the fight, 80% of the fight.
And more than that, and, like 80-90% of,
yeah,
90%
of the fight. I think, I'm already looking at the knockdowns as an important factor. And I just really hope that people don't, I hope they look at what Fury did successfully and the knockouts alongside each other as being both equally important. That's what I mean.
I think technically, if you were to look at it black and white, Fury obviously won, and it was obvious. I hope,
and that's not something I'm mad about either. I'm not mad about the draw, even though I thought Fury won too.
I thought one of them should have won and lost. I think either way, both of them would have still kept fighting. It's still more money, you know.
Yeah.
I think a draw. The performance performances were great, and I think the draw just spoiled, for me, kind of spoiled the night, because I think it turns casual fans down, because I know that most of them thought Fury won
the fight.
You know, won the fight. And I think from a literal sense, if you look at the scorecards, he won the fight. I mean, it's just black and white. There's no denying it. He got up and fought. I mean, he was basically pancaked on the floor, sprawled out, and the dude just snapped out.
Done. I thought he was done. It looked like he was twitching. You could, like, his mouth, like it was like clenching.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was
but
awkward.
his eyes just snapped open, and he got busy right when he got up. That's just crazy.
I think Amaro Ranallo or whichever commentator made the comment, because on the way down, Wilder hit Fury with a right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he hit him with a left hook
on the way down.
Going down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then one of the commentators pointed out, I'm not sure if it was Jim Gray or Amaro Ranallo or Al Bernstein.
Paulie. Oh, yeah.
Or was it Paulie? I don't know who said it. But he said that probably Fury's head bouncing right off the mat woke him up.
Oh, it didn't. It didn't even bounce.
Yeah. Did you hear that?
I think it was Al Bernstein that said that.
It was Al Bernstein. He's like, yeah. He hit him with the left on the way down, and he was out. And him landing on the mat and his head bouncing from the mat probably woke him up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, then Paulie mentioned that, no, he didn't. His head didn't bounce off the mat. And then they showed the slow motion replay, and his eyes just snapped open. Like, literally, he was on the ground, and his eyes just snapped open. He got right up, and he got busy again. That's crazy. You guys got to – everybody's got to give these guys props. The whole card was great, I thought. So – but the fight,
oh,
and
yeah,
the guy
for sure, yeah, from Jarrett Hurd to Luis Ortiz,
Joyce,
all the way down.
Joyce, yeah, Joyce is going to be a prospect right there.
Joyce
so,
is scary.
Yeah,
Joyce is a scary.
Athletic,
he's a bad man.
Dude.
That's a bad motherfucker right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so I think it was a good. Luis Ortiz was, you know, that matchup wasn't as even. I think it was more of a showcase. It was just a work, but. You know, even Luis Ortiz looked motivated, and he looked healthier than he did when he fought Wilder. So I thought he looked a lot looser. So, yeah.
Fury, I can't even get over how great of a fight Fury fought until the knockdown.
Yeah.
Until he almost got KO'd.
Yeah.
He used the feints. The feints were the story of the fight, in my opinion. Aside from the knockdowns, the feints were just tremendous. Being able to go in and out, feint with the jab, come in with a right, faint with a right, come in with a jab, or like,
well, here's
versa.
The thing, he was able to do it because it looked like that dude was having fun in there. He like, win or lose, he looked like he wanted to fight, and the way he threw his punches, the rhythm that he established early, that dude looked like he was having so much fun in there. Like, damn, like he was really happy to be in there, and he was just like, you know, let me put on a show, let me showcase my skills, I'm gonna do a little bit of showing off and whatnot, because I'm the most skilled boxer in the division,
mm-hmm.
You know? So yeah, he had so much fun. He had so much fun in there. He looked like he was having fun. He looked so happy to be in there. It was fun to watch. I had just as much fun watching him fight.
Than ever before.
Than anybody
then
that I've
Klitschko.
Watched fight. Yeah.
Then when he beat Klitschko.
Yep.
That was fun. It was fun watching. It was a pleasure watching Fury fight.
Yeah.
Let's get to the knockdowns. Let's get to the first knockdown. The first knockdown, I felt that Fury felt that he was cruising, and it could be arguable that he was dealing a shutout up to that point. I know a lot of people gave Wilder
I thought the
round
second
two.
Round. I gave round two just because he had that left hook.
Yeah, and you're not the only one.
Yeah,
a lot of people gave Wilder round two.
Yeah, Farhood gave him round two also.
Yeah,
so.
And then leading up to. Then what was the knockdown round? Was it round six?
Four or six.
I'm gonna say it was round six.
Okay.
I'm gonna say it was round six.
I thought Tyson Fury was stooped over, and I think it was a grazing shot because Tyson was a little off balance. I think it was enough to just kind of get him.
No,
over.
I'm sorry. It was round nine. It wasn't even close. It was round nine.
Oh, was it nine?
Was
oh,
round
okay,
nine.
Okay.
Yeah, it was round nine.
Okay.
But go on.
That thing went fast. No, I just thought. In the process of evading punches, I think that first knockdown wasn't as, it was a knockdown, it was a legit knockdown, but mm-hmm. I think it was half of that was due to Tyson being off balance and just kind of being low to the ground, already stooped over. So when he landed that shot, or when Wilder landed.
It was just a grazing blow, because to me, in my opinion, the movement was so good by Fury that even if Wilder was even remotely close to landing the right hand, it was just graze Fury. But I was wrong. I was wrong in the most devastating point of view ever. Just the fact that I was thinking that his movement was so good that even if Wilder threw the right and it's remotely touched Fury's head, I just thought that it was still a grazing, it'd still be a grazing blow. I didn't think it would land flush, but he landed flush in round.
You're talking about the second one?
I'm talking about in general. I'm talking about before even the knockdowns even took place. I thought that even if he remotely got close to landing that right hand on Fury, that it wasn't going to do any damage. And then I was 12th in for a rude round. Awakening. The 12th round knockdown.
Well, he's had knockdowns. Was insane. That I mean, Steve Cunningham. The stats. Yeah, they showed the stats like six, you know, rounds. He's had a couple knockdowns past the sixth round. So. Mm-hmm. It's that athleticism, man, that bails him out. I mean, that usually bails him out of the lack of skill, right?
Of course it does.
You know, it's the athleticism, and he's a gifted athlete. Mm-hmm. And so what if Tyson says, you know, you only came to boxing because you failed at all these other sports, but that translates in boxing. I mean, there aren't many that many athletic dudes. I mean, that dude is built like a LeBron. Imagine if LeBron boxed, he'd probably be exactly the same deal, you know, like same result. I mean, I'm glad he came to boxing because they need Wilder and he deserves more respect. That heart, you give, both of them have great heart, right? But for him to just keep going until the 12th round, he was super motivated. He felt like he could still win the fight. He felt like I truly believe that he felt like he was still going to win this fight no matter what. Mm-hmm. You saw him when he landed those two shots in the 12th round, you know, he does the,
it's over.
It's over.
He was doing that. He was
slits his neck. Yeah. Throat slashing.
It
was like, it's over. And we all thought it was over. But man, I'm still on a high. I'm barely coming down from the high from this fight. I had so much fun watching this whole card.
Me too. But I'm fairly composed now. I was on a high. That's why I wanted to do this episode so
capture quickly, it. Capture it right away.
But I'm kind of composed right now. It's just we all have that love affair of having heavyweight boxing in the limelight. But we all have the love affair here in America of having an American heavyweight champion. And I ran a poll on Instagram, and a lot of people had Fury winning. It was like 60-something percent to Fury and a 40-something percent to Wilder. Then last minute, I think during the Jared Herd fight, it switched. Then if I were to look at the exact percentages, it was like 50-something, or it was like 60-something Wilder and 40-something Fury.
It is after they were watching the promos.
Yeah.
Because it's so much. I'm not belief. Sure,
but it's, yeah.
It's probably after they watched the promos, because you listen to Wilder talk, at least leading up to the fight, his confidence is building and building and building. And we didn't talk about that on the build up. I forgot to touch on that. Mm-hmm. But the belief both these guys, I think they, you know, throughout the course of training camp and the build up and promotion, I think they're really. They really built up that belief and talked themselves into believing that they were going to win this fight.
Yeah,
and they both, frankly, nobody. I mean, it was a draw, but I don't think there were any losers in this fight at all. No. I mean, I think everyone in the heavyweight division won. Anthony Joshua won big time too.
We'll get to AJ in a second.
Yeah,
want to give a shout out to referee Jack Reese. I think Jack Reese did a great job officiating the fight. Fair, firm, and everything you could want in a referee.
Yeah, I love how he split him up toward the end of the fight. He was like, mm-hmm. We're going to keep the show going.
Yeah.
You know.
He gave Fury the benefit of the doubt after the knockdown.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because any other ref would have called that fight, but he knew Fury was still in it, And I'm glad that he did not stop the fight, because Fury kept going. He was not done.
He stayed busy.
He wasn't
even
close to being done. Yeah. He stayed busy. He started pushing forward the jab, setting up the jab, trying to get inside.
He landed a couple great shots.
Yeah. Landed a couple great shots on Wilder throughout the entire fight.
Fatigue was setting in.
Yep. He knew fatigue was setting in. And I think that I'm not saying he treated Wilder lightly. I just think there was some times where he needed to be solely business, 100% business fighting Wilder, because he got caught twice and that can't happen again. And I'm confident if they were to have a rematch, that's not going to happen again.
So who do you think? Well, I guess, do we want to do predictions for this rematch?
I really don't think it's going to be an immediate rematch first. I think they have a couple tune-up fights here and there, and they make their money that way further build up the fight itself. I think it's smart to have the draw. If we were to say that it was fixed, whatever, because I think the...
Well, that's the only thing I don't like about the draw, is that the casual fans get turned away. I think are going to say, see, this is why I don't like boxing. And I legit think... judges aside, nobody lost that fight.
Yeah.
And technically, Tyson should have won the fight. Technically, from a technical standpoint, I think, because he got up and fought. Because of, if he got up and he basically zombied his way through the rest of the round, mm-hmm. then yeah, I could score that draw, right? The thing is, he got back up and could. And you can see how fatigued Wilder was, right? We've said that here a couple times now. And his response after the knockdowns are what should have given him, put him over the top. If it was even because of the knockdowns, I think the fact that he responded and got up and just didn't clinch throughout the rest of the round. He was throwing punches. He was throwing, he landed a hard left hook. On a fatigued Wilder. I think because of the response, I think he should have won the fight. The judges should have given it to him because of his response. Now, if he's...
That 113-113 was just ludicrous. It was sketchy.
Yeah.
The 113-113. Because if we were to look at... Okay, if we were... knockdowns aside, the 10-8, 10-8s for Wilder aside, if we were to look at that, I thought that he dealt a shutout outside of round two.
Yeah, but who gave Wilder the first four rounds? One of them gave Wilder
did.
The first.
I want to say Tapper gave him the first four rounds.
Four
I'm
rounds.
Not sure. I got to look at it again, but I think it was Robert Tapper who gave Wilder the first four rounds.
I don't believe that at all. Like, I didn't see that at all.
No, I saw a scorecard here on Instagram. I just got
at it. I saw the second round to Wilder. I can see that. But to give Wilder the first four rounds was ludicrous. But,
okay, then let's talk about future matchups and ramifications and what's going to take place from this point forward and what's going to transpire for 2019. I think it's smart that if it was remotely fixed, it's smart and it goes in favor of Anthony Joshua, because Anthony Joshua can collect his money off the zone and build his name up some more off some tune-up fights before he fights Wilder or Fury. I think it's smart on their end. I think Eddie Hearn is going to build up Anthony Joshua even more, to the point where we're more interested in a fight with Anthony Joshua between Wilder or Fury. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that holding Joshua back for this time being is a money play. There's too much. I'm not mad at the draw, because I expected it. I expected it. At the back of my mind, this is going to be a draw. There's too much money in play for this to not be a draw. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think there's too much money on the table to not have the rematch. Because after the events that transpired, we're going to be clamoring for the rematch. I don't think we're going to get it right away, but I think that holding Joshua back for this time being is going to make a big money fight to finally unify all the belts. And whether we like it or not, hardcore fans or casual fans like it or not, it's just how it is. That's boxing, man.
Mm-hmm. I understand holding Joshua back. Joshua has to address what's going on, though. I mean, he just got called out. They both, winner and loser in the ring, called this dude out.
They
and I want to. I'd love. I'd love to talk about that, just the post-fight interviews, how well, you know, this is why I think this is how boxing should go. Mm-hmm. And I know Mayweather has tried. I think he does it quite a bit in his fights, but the guys that he fights against were so disappointed that they couldn't get the GOAT that they were a little dejected. But when you get two guys like Fury and Wilder who wanted to put on a show and who wanted to up the division, and I think that was a really, really great post fight. And the fact that they both called AJ out. I mean, when has that ever been done? Where both fighters that both competed in the same
call
night,
call themselves the two top heavyweights
in the world. The two top heavyweights in the world call out the third guy and call him a chicken. And when have you ever seen that? Three guys mix it up like that. I mean, I thought
that Wilder was the odd man out if we were considering them three 2 years ago. Wilder was the odd man out.
Yep.
And
yep.
Fury was number two. And in the sense that he beat Klitschko, but he cruised in a decision. Yep. Whereas Joshua finished him. But the thing is, Joshua almost got finished himself.
Yeah, he crumpled, finished. His knockout, actually, it wasn't a culmination knockout, like a combination or culmination of punches from Joshua that beat Klitschko. But when Joshua got caught, he crumpled. Yes. I mean, that guy looked like the World Trade Center, like top to bottom, crumpled on the ground. Yeah. I thought it was done. But the testament to Anthony Joshua, and you know, we've been loving Anthony Joshua ever since he came on the scene. He's going to have to address. He has no choice.
Point blank period.
He has no choice. He's going to have to say something. The thing is, and I want to talk about matchups too, but
there's plenty of matchups out there. They're not the only three destined to face each other. I think if we were to examine the lay of the land of heavyweight, we got Joshua, we got Fury, we got Wilder, we got Dillian White.
Dillian White's
in the mix. Mm-hmm. We also have Alexander Usyk. Mm-hmm. Usyk's possibly going to move up from cruiserweight to heavyweight. And if Usyk were to move up, it's going to pose a lot of problems for these guys, because Usyk's not as imposing as far as a height standpoint, because he's only about 6'3". But if we were to look at the lay of the land, and if Usyk were to move up, he's the dark horse there, being a tremendous counterpuncher, tremendous combination puncher. He's a very, very dangerous boxer. If he were to step up to heavyweight, look out, guys, because Alexander Usyk's coming in there to take all the
explosive battles. Speed. But, yeah, he's got that compact. I mean, for those guys, he's got that compact power and speed. I mean, I think it's a very good balance. It's not overly lanky. He's definitely very, very dangerous.
Very, very, very dangerous. And I'm very curious to see where Dillian White lands after he faces Derek Chisora, because he has Chisora next. I have, obviously, Dillian White finishing that fight. But we'll see where he goes. We'll see what heavyweight looks like in 2019. So in summary, the last comments I'm going to make about the fight between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury is tremendous fight. Everything we ever wanted and more, everything that we predicted transpired. Drama. Yeah,
nobody made a bad call. Neither of us made a bad call, because I like to take risks on my predictions sometimes.
That was a great risk. Almost paid off.
Yeah, if that was a risk, that was, I guess, a calculated risk, because it couldn't have gone. It's definitely a possibility with those two, because they're so different stylistically. But neither one of us were wrong. You know?
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I don't think so either. Especially, it was a draw, you know?
Yeah.
You know, our predictions were right as far as how the fight was going to play out. Trying not to tear down Deontay Wilder, trying my best to not tear him down, but I thought Tyson Fury fought a better fight, aside from the two knockdowns. But testament to Deontay Wilder's power and his will to stay in there when the cards are literally stacked against him. Well, except for one card or two cards. two scorecards. But you know what I'm saying. As far as the general public and the general consensus of having the fight be scored for Tyson Fury. They're going to be back. Both guys are going to be back better than ever. They brought out the best in each other, and I really can't wait for a rematch. And I really can't wait to either one of them to face Anthony Joshua, because that's the fight we're going to want to see. I was rooting for Fury because I wanted to see both guys who were the victor over Vladimir Klitschko face off against each other. That's the reason why I had Deontay Wilder.
So how do you see those two? How do you see a matchup between AJ versus, as far as difference? Who do you think you should fight Fury first?
Well, here's the thing with Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua's not really doing himself any favors with these tuna fights. Yeah, he had some tests. He fought a pretty game Joseph Parker last, not his last fight, but a couple fights ago. I think he's a smart enough guy to make adjustments against either guy. At the end of the day, I still think Anthony Joshua's my guy. I think he's just a total package, outside from being a good-looking specimen to being a technical fighter and a very cerebral fighter and being cognizant of the skills that he has and the guys he's fighting.
And the skills that he doesn't have. I think he's cognizant of that too. If we're talking about matchups between the two, I think because we just saw Wilder against primo defense. From a taller guy too. It's not like a smaller guy like Mike Tyson. His defense was amazing, but he was a lot of times a shorter guy. So he leveraged the distance that he gained just by being shorter in his peekaboo style and everything. But Tyson Fury's got supreme defense, and the thing is, he doesn't pose any problems as far as real knockout power. So I know Anthony Joshua knows that he's going to have 12 rounds to knock this guy out also, mm-hmm. but with skills, with setup. So I think Tyson Fury is a better, a more logical, safer, none of them are safe, but between the two, I think Deontay Wilder is a little bit more dangerous than
what Tyson. We perceive him to be.
He's more dangerous to Joshua. Than Tyson.
Oh yes, for sure. If we were to square him up against Joshua.
I wouldn't want to see Wilder against Joshua just yet, because when that happens, if that happens after the Fury fight, it would be a huge pay-per-view just bonanza. I mean, that fight would be crazy.
You know what makes it juicier to me?
Yeah.
All three guys have gone through adversity.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just those three right there. I don't remember the last time. I think I remember last time where it was like Razor Ruddock and fucking Riddick Bowe and Tyson, you know, and Mike Tyson, you know, all of those guys in the mix talking crap to each other, talking shit and stuff. And it was just, you know, oh, the heavyweights. Now we're back to that again. We got the classy gentleman and we got the two flamboyant dudes, you know, that happen to be friends are calling out the classy general. It's just, I'm so excited for this division, for what this division has to offer. And I just hope everybody plays their cards right and puts on a show for the fans.
Yeah. And I think we've said all we needed to say in regards to Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder and the events that transpired tonight. Big bro, I want to thank you for hopping on to the championship rounds today. No, it was last minute, but I know we were both very, very excited to explain what happened and get stuff off our chest, all that pent-up aggression and everything we wanted to get out. I think we did a great job in breaking down the fight. But I want to thank you once again.
Thank you.
I'll probably text you after this fight.
Yeah.
Or after this podcast, I mean, and more about the fight. We'll text more about the fight. But, yeah.
Let's wrap things up right here.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. Great job on the podcast.
Keep it going.
I'm trying.
All right.
I'm trying. All right.
All right.
All right. Have a good night, big bro.
Yes, sir, bro. Have a good night. Bye.
All right. Bye. All right, guys. That does it for Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. I will be back this week to go over what transpired in the world of boxing and mixed martial arts this past weekend. If you guys need to find the championship rounds, once again, I am on Apple Podcasts. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and be sure to leave a review as well. Leave a review. I'd appreciate that very much. Or you could follow me on Spotify. Hit the download button there. Once again, Apple Podcasts and Spotify for you to find the championship rounds. I will be back this week. Really appreciate you guys tuning in to me and my brother breaking down Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury. Appreciate the love and support from all you guys. And I'll be back this week with more coverage, more analysis, and we'll get back maybe into Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. But for the time being, I am signing out. Thanks again, guys.